it's a joy. It's been my joy to be here these days, and I appreciate the Lord. I had a lady sent me a message today. I don't know if she's here. I guess she is somewhere. She said that in her 64 years of hearing preaching, she had never witnessed a preacher walking through the tabernacle preaching with an axe. Well, I promise you this, you'll keep their attention if you have a sharp object, praise the Lord. And anyway, I had a guard on it, though. It wasn't going to hurt nobody, praise the Lord. Amen. But anyway, I appreciate the Lord, appreciate His goodness. I thank you for your kindness this week. I saved my shortest message for tonight. I know you're tired. And boy, I figured somebody'd say amen right there, praise the Lord. My wife wanted to, but she held it back, praise the Lord. She wanted to. But anyway, one of Brother Jarvis's members has already invited me to preach over there tomorrow so they can get out to eat lunch on time, they said. That's what they said. Now, that's what he said. I don't know where he's at, but I don't know what member it was that invited me, but apparently they've not been getting out to lunch on time, Brother Jarvis, and you need to work on that a little bit. Praise the Lord, I'm telling you what. I got a few members like that too, though, so don't worry about it. But anyway, I appreciate the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 4, and I'm going to give you just a simple, quick little thought tonight and hope it'll be a blessing. Jeremiah chapter number 4, and I want to read a couple of verses, and then I'm going to read one verse in the book of Isaiah, and that'll be all the reading I'll do tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 4 and verse number 26. In the context of the scripture that I'm reading, Jeremiah the weeping prophet, of course, he is looking over the people. He's looking over the desolation of God's judgment upon the people because of their sin. And Jeremiah, of course, is weeping, lamenting, begging God's people that they might get right with the Lord, you know. There's a lot of things we can do in this life, but the main thing to get where we need to is just get right with the Lord. You'd be amazed at what kind of change in spirit in most of our churches would be if folks that attend them would just get totally right with the Lord. Now, you say, preacher, you're judging folks. No, I'm not judging anyone, but I know this. We're not seeing great move of God in these days, and I think a lot of it's because of God's people not exactly being where they need to be with God. Amen. Not being as fervent in spirit as they need to be. I mean, if you just go to church and you sit there with a cold heart, then you ought to consider that and you ought to say, Lord, help me with my cold heart. And I know there ain't nobody here sins, and I understand that in these days you can't find anybody that's guilty of any sin, but we have sin in our members, and every one of us today, either willfully or sometimes without willful, we'll just sin and come short of the glory of God. And every now and then we just need to say, God, clean me up real good. Now, you see, the thing about it is our fellowship with Him is what's affected when we have those things in our life. Not our relationship, but our fellowship. And I believe we need that today. Here in the Word of God, Jeremiah makes a statement in verse number 26. And he says this, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. And all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by His fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be made desolate, yet will I not make an end. I want to focus on that thought. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. Isaiah made the statement in Isaiah chapter 32, speaking of the coming kingdom. He made this statement. He said, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word, and Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight for just a few moments in this place, that we might honor You with our preaching, God, that we might encourage somebody here tonight. Lord, I pray every church member that's here tonight, every local assembly pew dweller, Lord, I pray whatever they might be, whatever position they might hold, Lord, I pray that you'd help every one of us tonight in our own personal lives, Lord, that we might examine our hearts and let God help us tonight through the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, if there's one here unsaved, would you save them tonight by your marvelous grace? And God will give you praise and honor and glory for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the Word of God, the weeping prophet. I can imagine Jeremiah in my mind as this man that has such a broken heart. He has such a tender heart that he is known as the weeping prophet. And I can imagine as this man of God looks out over the desolation and as he looks out over all the decline that he's looking at, no doubt his heart is broken by what he sees. You know, really, sometimes when we look out and see the state of the known church world today, it ought to bring some tears to our eyes. It ought to bring a sadness to our heart when we see, and I understand it's not in many places, God is doing great works, and I'm still thankful for that. But by and large today, we're not seeing great, I'm talking about great moves of God like we have in days gone by. And I understand there's reasons for that. We're nearing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening, Brother Dean McNeese made this statement, and it's so true. He said at one time God turned away, he turned away from the Jew and he turned to the Gentile, of course, when the Jews rejected him. He said, but now, he said, we're in the stage now, I believe the turning back is taking place. And God is pulling off of the Gentiles and he's going back to his people. We know that will happen in the last days. I really believe he made this statement. He said back in the 50s and 60s, any preacher could throw up a tent and there'd be hundreds would come and there'd be salvations on top of salvations. He said nowadays, if you can have a week-long meeting and have a half-decent crowd, you're doing good. And if you see one saved, it's an amazing thing. And that's part of that reason for that. But I see here in the Word of God, the Bible said, Jeremiah said, I looked and I beheld, and the fruitful place was a wilderness. In other words, he said a place that at one time had had the bounty of God, a place that at one time had the blessings of God, at one time a place where there was people busy in the Lord's work. He said, now when I look at it, it's nothing but a wilderness. And sad to say today, there are many churches that used to stand for what was right. There are many who used to have the blessings of God. There are many who used to thunder from the pulpit as the song said tonight and preach on the sins that were affecting a nation. But we're living in a day where much of that has gone by the wayside. We're dealing in psychology from the pulpit now instead of preaching what thus saith the Lord. And certainly many places today it seems as though the fruitful place has become a wilderness. I'm preaching on the subject tonight on the danger of losing ground. There is an unspoken law in nature of the encroaching wilderness. Do you realize and understand that even in nature today, there is an element that if you don't work to keep it beat back, the wilderness will come in. If you've got a little plot of land, if you've got a yard, if you've got a garden, you understand in order to keep it like it needs to be, there has to be some diligence, there has to be some desire, and there has to be some determination to keep that place looking like it needs to. Just because you go to sleep tonight don't mean the grass stops growing or the weeds, by the way. And can I say to you, we're living in a day where the wilderness is overtaking us in the spiritual realm. Jeremiah looked and he said, first of all, he said, I looked and I saw that the fruitful place was a wilderness. It was a statement of remembrance. Jeremiah said, I remember when that place used to look different than it does now. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I preach all over the country, big churches, little churches, town churches, country churches, and I go in some places and I recognize that it don't look like it used to there.
Jeremiah said, I remember when that place had the fruit of God hanging on the vine, and now it looks ain't nothing but a patch of weeds. Now it's nothing but it's something under the curse and the judgment of God. Let me tell you, every one of you ought to desire that your church would be fruitful. Every one of you ought to desire that the place where you attend and you assemble together, that the presence and the power and the blessings of God would be on that place. Amen. It was a statement of remembrance. It was a statement of regret. This no doubt broke Jeremiah's heart when he looked out there and he saw it. He said, man, I could imagine tears streaming down his face when he said, I looked and I beheld. He thought about it. He said, that place that at one time had the beauty of God on it now is nothing but a barren, dry, desolate wilderness. Boy, I tell you, it ought to shake our hearts to think about the fact that we can lose ground very quickly today. It don't take a long time before the kudzu of compromise comes in. And it don't take a long time before we let down the things that we've once stood for. It don't take a long time till somebody slips in and starts changing the things and the old past and the old things that we've done. It don't take a long time to lose ground. And I say to you, them weeds creep in. Be careful today. We're living, and we've had some good music here, good songs this week. But I go in good churches, and every now and then they'll sing good songs, and then all of a sudden I hear one of them songs that gives an uncertain sound. And I understand. You see, I'm a songwriter, so I'm curious about stuff like that. When I hear one of them songs that I don't know. Now don't get me wrong. I write new songs, and I'm all for new songs. But I ain't singing them songs of that contemporary crowd. Now, you can shout to the Lord if you want to. Some of y'all can do all that you want to, but just give me that old-time religion. Because it's good enough for me, praise God. And I'd been hearing a song. I was going in meetings in good churches. Now you say, preacher, you're discounting that music. I'm saying this. Oh, some of them songs got good words. Sure do. I know some country songs that got good words, but I ain't singing them at the church house. You say, well, what's your problem if they got good words and they're espousing the truth of God's Word? I'm going to tell you what my problem is with them. I read a news article, this one song. I wanted to know who wrote it, and I found out. So I did a little research about this writer. Found out he was a contemporary guy from over in England, and he gave an interview about writing this song. It's got an old-fashioned sound to it. Sounded like one of them old hymns from the Methodist hymnal or something. And I thought, man, is that an old song I ain't never heard before? And I read in the article that he confessed this and he told this. He said, well, we wrote that song intentionally like that. He said, our desire is, he said, we want to write a song that can be sung in the traditional church and the contemporary. Said, we're trying to bring the two together. Sound like a snake in the grass to me. And you say, well, preach it, but was it good words? It's awful good words. And it had a good melody. But you know what the problem is with them songs? Every one of them's birthed out of the New Bible movement. Every one of them. You won't find a contemporary church preaching out of the King James Bible. They got them watered down books that they're calling Bibles. They got their little effeminate preacher behind the glass pulpit wearing his polo shirt, and then they expect us to sing their song. It gives an uncertain sound. I say, let's just stick with what got us where we're at. Amen. Let's do God's will. I ain't never had a problem singing a Fanny Crosby song. I don't have to worry about old Fanny's song because they've been proven and they've stood the test of time. Oh, you said, man, I've just figured out you one of them hard line fellas. No, I ain't a hard line fella, but I just believe in standing on what is proven. Amen. Jeremiah said, it's a wilderness. It's a statement of regret. It was a statement of remembrance. And Jeremiah was an honest preacher. It was a statement of the current reality. He said, that's the fruitful place, but it looks like a wilderness. We're living in a day where everybody says, y'all come over to our church. Where you go to church? Fruitful Place Baptist Church. That sounds like a pretty good place. And then when you get over there and you look, you say, this place looks like a wilderness. See, the reality ain't what they say it is sometimes. Right. Amen. Amen. Now, sometimes, listen, I know we ought to be proud of our church and where we go to church. I encourage you to do that. But sometimes we just need to face the reality that we can all move up just a little closer. We can all get some help. We all need revival. We all need stirring. We all need to draw closer to Him. Hallelujah to His name. You say, preacher, how am I going to keep from losing ground? I'm going to give you three quick things and I'm done. Number one, if you want to keep from losing ground in your spiritual life, you're going to have to survey the territory. What do you mean by that, preacher? You see, I own a little place there in Mountain City, Tennessee, my house and a little plot of property. When I bought that, there was a deed that came with that. And one day, apparently, somebody went out there and they surveyed that property. They shot a line from that tree to that rock, and they shot it from this pin to that pin, and they drew it down on a plot, and they handed me that when I bought that and said, this is here is what now belongs to you, and it's what you're responsible for. I tell you what will help our churches a whole lot, if we can get individual Christians understanding that they have personal responsibility for their spiritual condition. You see, we're living in the culture today. You're not taking care of your little spiritual plot because you feel like it's the preacher's job to mow your weeds down. You feel like it's the preacher's responsibility to keep you where you need to be, when all the while the fact of the matter is, it's your responsibility to draw close to God. It's your responsibility to live like you need to and bring the blessings of God upon your life. It's your personal responsibility. Amen. Brother Jarvis, let me ask you a question. Have I come down and mowed your yard this year? No, I haven't. You know why? Ain't my yard. By the way, you ain't come and mowed mine either. It's not your yard. Then why in the world are you going to drag in on the church pew in the morning expecting the preacher to clean up your little spiritual patch when all the while you can read the Word of God, when all the while you're supposed to have a prayer life, when all the while you're supposed to be maintaining some things in your life? It's not the preacher's responsibility to keep your patch clean. It's your responsibility. If the weeds of sin grow up, there's nobody to blame but the one that's occupying the territory, than the one that's letting it happen, and the one that's standing by when the weeds of compromise and sin grow up in your life. Oh yeah. Survey the territory. Had old brother in my church, he's in heaven now. He loved his garden better than anything in the world. He was old and broken down in his later years. He couldn't bend over to chop weeds or anything. His grandson came by one day and said, preacher, you ain't going to believe what I saw Granddad out there doing in the garden. I said, what's that? He said, he was down on his hands and knees, and he crawled over the whole garden and pulled weeds with his hands. Crawled on his hands and knees because he loved that patch so good that he was going to do whatever it took to make sure he kept the weeds out of it. I wonder if your little spiritual patch or your home or your individual life means enough to you to drive you to your knees. I wonder, does it mean enough to you for you to get down and say, God, would you help me? I can't take care of the neighbor's home, and I can't take care of this fellow I work with's home, but preacher, I want to take care of my home, and God, I want you to help me to do my responsibility to be the Christian I need to be. Hallelujah. To be the husband, to be the wife, to be the son or the daughter I need to be. God, help me that I'd survey the territory to see what I'm responsible for. Number two, if you're going to keep from losing ground, you need to stake a claim. I grew up in a little mountain holler up there, a little dry run. Runs all the way almost from over where our church is to the other end of the holler where Midway Baptist Church is. And through that holler, when I grew up, I knew everybody that lived through there. I knew all them people, most of them went to church with most of them. And all through that little old valley down through there, some of the most beautiful, pristine little old farms that you've ever seen on each side of the road. And every one of those farms had its own identity. You could identify, you knew who it was that lived there by it. You said, there's Brother Harold Bradley's farm, and over here, old man Coopy Kimberlin's farm, and you go on down the road, old man Deck Forster's farm, and man, they all had different identities to them. You see, there was somebody that had said, you know what, this is who we are. This is what we do. And when people drive by here, they're going to look and they're going to understand that somebody cares about this place. They're going to understand that somebody ain't afraid to work in the middle of the field. They're going to understand that something's been passed down to us, and we want to leave it in better condition than what we found it. Amen. I don't know about you, but every one of us ought to have a spiritual identity. Your family ought to have one. You ought to stake a claim and say, this is what we're going to be identified by. It may be that you'll be that family in the church that's there every time the doors are open. You don't ever miss. If you're not there, they're checking the hospitals to see who's there. Can I say to you, it may be you'll be identified. And, you know, when I was growing up, it used to be families. It was no big deal to find a family that could sing, because that's all. They had Saturday night singings, and they'd come, Brother Phillips, you know all about them mountain folks. They'd have them Saturday night singings, and man, there'd be people come, and then everybody sung back in those days. I wonder where the families in these days that's going to say, you know what? Maybe my family could do something like that. Maybe that could be our identity. Maybe we could sing them old shape note songs. Praise the Lord. Maybe we could pass down a heritage. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you. Praise God. But I want to stake a claim and say, this is who I am. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to do it till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. To His name. Amen. I met my wife singing. We was at a country church out in the middle of nowhere, singing. Her and her daddy was there that night. She was playing the piano. Me and my dad, I took my guitar. He said, boy, let's go. They got a Saturday night singing. I said, man, I was about 20 year old, something like that. I said, man, I don't want to go over there tonight. I said, I need to go somewhere. I need a girlfriend. I said, I need to go where there's some girls. There ain't no girls going to be at that little country church on that dirt road on a Saturday night out in the middle of nowhere. And he said, boy, get your guitar. We're going. I said, all right. I get over there that night, and they got up to sing. I didn't know. I'd never seen them before in my life. And they sang. I enjoyed their singing. I had no idea. I wasn't paying half attention. But her daddy and her, I thought that was a husband and wife. I didn't think nothing about it. And after I got in the car that night, my aunt was with us, and she asked me, said, did you know Paul and Linda Tester? I said, no, never met them before. She said, yeah, that was Paul and his daughter Linda. I said, what? I said, yeah, that was Paul and his daughter Linda. I said, you mean to tell me there was an eligible girl in the building tonight and I didn't know it? And she plays the piano too. Amen. And I said, really? She said, yeah, they go to Zion Hill Baptist Church. I said, I know that church. We sang there. Brother Quincy Norris pastored there. And a couple weeks after that, funniest thing happened. My pastor got called to preach a revival meeting at Zion Hill Baptist Church. I got under the most intense burden to back my preacher that week. I said, God, I've let you down. I've let my preacher down, but I'm stopping right now. I said, I'm going every night to that meeting, even though it's over in North Carolina. It's about a 30-minute drive. I said, it's time I got right and started backing my preacher. I did. I went, man. I listened to the preaching, but I had ulterior motives for going. But I believe 32 years later, I believe it worked out pretty good. See, I staked a claim. I said, there's something in me. My daddy and them's always wanted me to sing, and we've always sang. And I said, there's a girl, her daddy done the same thing to her. I said, I believe I can hang out with her a while. And guess what? We've been hanging out together and singing all these many years. Amen. Find your identity. Find what God wants you to do. Get with who God has for your life. And just stay in your patch. Keep it clean. And do the will of God. Amen. Amen. Survey the territory. Stake a claim. And then if you're going to keep from losing ground, you got to stand your ground. Just because you determined to do something don't mean that the wilderness ain't going to try to creep in.
That's right.
Preachers, in these days, in order to do God's will, we have to stand our ground.
Amen.
You know, the hardest thing for a preacher to do is when he's standing for something he believes firmly in, and then somebody asks him, "But why, preacher? Why?" Well, sometimes he can't make you fully understand why he's standing on that. So what y'all do is thank God for a preacher that's doing his best to keep the patch clean and not try to second guess everything he does, and hold up his hands and encourage him and say, "Preacher, now listen, he's not infallible. We all make mistakes. Sometimes I look back and I say, man, that was a bonehead decision I made." But the fact of the matter is, you see, if God's people understand that God's man has the right heart and the right intention to do what's right, when he's wrong, God will show him that, and he'll be the one that'll straighten it out. Amen. Can I say to you right now, I don't know about you. Jeremiah looked out and he said, "I beheld, and the wilderness, the fruitful place was a wilderness." Then Isaiah saw a day in the future over there, and he said, "I looked till the Spirit be poured from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful place again." Can I say to you, I'm glad all it takes for revival to come is for God's Spirit to be poured out.
Amen.
Let's do our best to keep from losing ground. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all you've done. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you'd help each one tonight as we give this invitation. Lord, help every local church, every Christian. Lord, I pray, would you just touch them tonight? Draw us closer to you. Help us to maintain our patch. Help us to maintain our plot that you've given us in life. Help us just to do that work that's necessary to stay where you'd have us to. And Lord, we'll give you praise for all you do in Jesus' name. Let's stand as they sing and they're coming to the altar. God's speaking to your heart tonight. Step out. Just come on, let God help you tonight. Oh, yes, that's right. Just come on now. Yeah, take care of what God's given you. Don't worry about somebody else's patch, but just make sure yours is what it needs to be. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah.